When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Knife Talk. We're here to talk knives, answer your questions, help figure out your dilemmas, give each other a hard time. But more than anything, we're here to have a good time. So thank you all for joining us. My name is Jeff Fader of Fader Knives. I'm here with Craig Lockwood, as always, of Chop Knives, and Marco Malmasi of Malmasi Fire Arts. How are you guys doing this week?
All good. All good. First off, I need to say that if I'm out of breath, I've literally, you guys had to hang on for me. I was very late for the podcast today. I was out shopping with the wife and then realized, oh, I should be doing a podcast. So get all the kids into the car, drive as fast as I could, straight into the studio. So yeah, very sorry for you guys hanging around.
I guess I have images of you just like throwing the kids into their car seats as quickly as possible.
Basically, that's what happened. Yeah, yeah.
Do your own buckle. Yeah, Marco and I had a very nice catch-up. We waited for you. We caught up and talked about things, and no, we had a perfectly good catch-up.
So nice.
Please excuse my intro, too, by the way. My son's been listening to this podcast called Wow in the World, and it's really good. It's Guy Raz and Mindy something, but she's the female side of the podcast is hilarious, and she does this thing where she introduces herself as the other podcast host. Oh. So I told my kid I would do it. So, thank you for bearing with me.
Okay, I see where you went. Okay, cool. So, how are things, Marco? What's been going on?
Oh, I'm back from the island, thank God, because we almost didn't make it back. The ferries stopped running. There are two ferries at this particular port that go back and forth between Anderson Island and Steilacoom, and. The generator on the one that's typically operating, one of the two generators went out, and I guess part of the whatever this sea rules of the Port Authority or whatever in Pierce County is that they have to have two generators to be able to operate properly, and it's like it's for each motor, and sometimes I guess this has happened in the past, but a generator will go out mid trip, and then. It'll just like barely putt its way to the other side, and then the rest of the day operates very, very slowly. If they don't altogether just stop operations or use their backup ferry, but the problem is the backup ferry has a pump that's out, so they have two ferries that don't fucking work. They have people on the island. It's the middle of the day. It's a school day, so it's such a small island. They have an elementary school there, but they don't have a middle school and high school. So all the kids are trying to come home from school, and nobody can get home.
Wow! How big is the trip to the mainland then? How long does that take?
It's very short. It's 20 minutes, but you know you don't want to swim it. And the ferries fit. I think something like 40 or 50 cars. And so, yeah, at first blush, it was like, oh, cool. This could be a few days if they can figure out a quick fix. Or this could be 4 weeks because some of the parts are like, especially on the one with the pump that's out, the part pump they don't make it anymore. And they would have to like retrofit something, and then they'd have to get approvals and all this other bullshit, and that could take a really long time. But they did end up working out a quick fix, and they put an extra like industrial size generator like you see at construction sites. And they put it on the deck, so it took up a few spaces on the deck, but they were able to start running the ferry again, fortunately. Wow. within 24 hours. It was like 36 hours, but still.
How big is the island? How many live on the island?
Maybe a few hundred people.
Sounds amazing.
It's a great little island. I mean, it's big enough to have a couple lakes on it, a couple decent sized lakes on it, but and it's cute. Like, it's got all kinds of like historical stuff and all these beaches and hikes and stuff. We ended up actually going on a hike and finding a beach where you could pick oysters. So that was fun. And I made po' boys that night, and after shucking all the oysters, which was kind of a mess because I had to use a screwdriver instead of a proper shucking knife.
That's the way to do it.
It's not ideal, but it worked. I made it happen. So we made it back from the island. Here, let me grab my notes. I just had actually a really good chat with on my Patreon. We were talking sharpening, and I pulled in Sean Houston of Triple B Handmade. He's a great guy, and he's just south of me, actually, down in Portland, a couple hours. But he jumped in and had a good conversation with me. He's done work with Dr. Laren Thomas as well for some of the articles that Laren was putting together. Around sharpness and sharpness testing and stuff like that. But that was a really good chat. He's actually hosting a little a sharpening competition. Alex Horn's going to be there. Jameson Chop is going to be there. Dan Bittinger, a couple other guys. I have Matt Coons, who's, I believe, a solid listener of the Knife Talk podcast. Mr. Jeremy Spake is going to be there. I'm excited to see him. I haven't seen him in like, fucking feel like 4 years or something like that. But anyways, we're doing the sharpening thing. It's super small, but he's hoping to get it picked up by Blade to kind of emphasize more of the sharpening side of the knife making, because everybody's all about all the various aspects of the steel and the folders and all that. But ultimately, like, without a properly sharpened knife, you just have a glorified butter knife. So he's wanting to bring more attention to that, and so that should be fun. I'm gonna take the family down, and we're going to make a day of it. And let's see what else I got here. I get my hammer tomorrow. I'm getting my 55-pound Anyang pneumatic hammer tomorrow.
Whoa.
Which is exciting for me. It's definitely on kind of the smaller side. What James Johnson, I believe his name is, he tunes them up so they hit more. Like, most of the hammers, they have a specific kilogram rating. Poundage rating, but he tunes them to hit a little harder, and so it actually, I guess, hits more like a 68 pound. I'll be able to use it for Damascus, but probably not for any massive stock reduction, but it'll be great for forging blades for sure. And I'm really excited about that. Take a little bit of the work off my arm. I'm trying to think what else is going on.
The ferry. Karen level? What do you think the Karen level rating was for the people like losing their minds that they couldn't get off the island?
Yeah, I honestly, so I'm part of a community group that is for the island. And I was surprised.
I can imagine the Karens on the community group.
Yeah, there were a couple who were like, the governor or the mayor or whatever, the mayor needs to get fired or something. Like, just people were freaking out, of course. And part of that is because like their fucking kids couldn't come home. There's even a passenger ferry, but it's not there. It's somewhere else, like on the Sound, the Puget Sound. And the Puget Sound is a giant mass of water. Like, if you were to sail from the bottom of it where I live to the top, it would take all fucking day. Just to motor all the way up on a little boat or whatever.
So there were kids that went to school that day that couldn't get home.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's fucking bad.
Yeah. Some of the parents were, and I think part of the thing too is like, if you live on the island and you're going to school, you're going to school off island, you have to have a backup, like either family or friends or some sort of situation, so that you, if this kind of shit happens, then you have somewhere to go. But it doesn't mean it's not frustrating and stressful nonetheless, right? So
get your fucking dinghy out there. Get the old Craig Lockwood special and get your kid back from the fucking dock.
Well, there was one guy. He was kind of he actually made the news, but he was kind of the island hero because he has a sailboat that can only fit, you know, maybe 6 or 8 people at a time. But he was ferrying people back and forth from the island, like, nonstop for 2 days, 2.5 days.
$300 a pop.
Yeah. Ass, grass, or gas. No one rides for free.
Exactly. So he's a good man for doing that. I guess to round out what I got going on, I do want to let people know. A lot of people have been asking me if I was going to be a Blade Show. And I've been talking about being at Blade Show Texas. And I'm just not going to be able to make it this year. I thought, you know, I was working on knives to take and talking about it. And it's not happening. But I have been able to make Blade Show Atlanta work. Just timing-wise, things aren't going to work right now. And so I'm excited, whoever can make it to Blade Show, to see y'all there. I've already had a few people I've been talking to about that. Actually, I've been talking to Fingal about it, because Fingal's been posting that he's going to be at Blade Show, and so I'm fucking stoked.
Oh, wow.
He's going to be at Blade Show. Jesus Christ. Now Jeff has to go.
Jeff might not be going. So
okay. No.
Jeff might not be going.
Jeff's, I know you like to do like your one day shopping spree.
If I would consider doing a, you know, I don't know. I let me think about it, because it's been talked about. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It might not work.
Honestly, I don't blame you if you don't go. So.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be because I don't want to. It's because there's like other things going on
in Faderland
that are like a little bit more, you know, I got to deal with.
Yeah. I feel you.
Yeah.
Craig, what's going on?
I should just get my breath back. It's been a good week. I lost a day this week, completely lost a day, as in like 24 hours of my life that I'll never get back. Oh. So I had a gig on Thursday night, which is why we were doing this podcast today instead of we normally do on a Thursday night. And I had a few drinks afterwards, as you led to another few drinks.
Oh, boy.
So Friday...
we were fucked.
I came into the... On a Friday, so we have cleaners that come in on a Friday. So I hate being in that. No, I'm just honest. I hate being in a house when they're there.
Oh, yeah,
so,
of course.
But I'm hungover to fuck. And I've literally been throwing up as well. Oh. I'm like, oh, man. So I came out here to the studio, right? And I got a little couch here. Fell asleep for 4.5 hours in the middle of the day.
Jesus.
Yeah, my phone goes, and it was my wife. She was on her way home from somewhere, and she said, "Oh, I'm nearly home." And I thought, "Oh shit, I better get up." So I'm stumbling out of the barn, because the studio is like a room within the barn. I'm stumbling out of the barn wearing like, well, as if I haven't slept for 3 days. And she pulls up, she's like, "What the hell has happened to you?" And I was like, "Oh man, yeah, I was in a bad bar, and I haven't had a drink for, you know, some." You know, a proper drink for a long time. So
fuck are you talking about? You were in Wales, and you were like, your wife is sending pictures of you being blasted on the streets of Wales. Oh yeah,
I wasn't hungover then, at least.
Oh okay.
But yesterday I was just a walking zombie. I was a complete wreck.
Yikes.
You know, geez. So yeah. So that's the last.
It doesn't get easier as older you get, there, Craig.
I know. And you're doing that thing, you know, you're being sick, you're like, this is the last time ever, man. Yeah. I'm never drinking again. It's just, oh, terrible. Terrible. But yeah, but 4.5 hours in the afternoon asleep, like a baby, which I never, ever do. Never, ever. So I'm not in recovery mode, but weirdly, I'm full of energy today. Do you know, you only get a day when you do literally nothing. And I was eating shit all day as well, trying to get rid of the hangover. Mm-hmm. Today, I'm just full of energy. So, it's all good.
What's your go-to hangover cure, food-wise?
That's a good question.
It's got to be flat Coca-Cola. Shake it up so it goes flat.
Oh, my God. You're a fucking maniac already. Oh, I'm that is the worst fucking start to this fucking hangover cure I've ever heard. Flat Coca-Cola.
I think it's the best. And then you need bacon sandwiches. They're salty and fatty. And you get the sugar from the Coke. You just need to replenish all these.
What else? What's on the bacon sandwich?
just salted butter in just standard white bread. That's all you need. It's a great hangover cure.
So you're shaking up the Coca-Cola?
Shaking up the Coca-Cola, get it nice and flat.
That is literally the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. I never heard a flat Coca-Cola being
served
desirable.
Me well for years. That as a cure.
Yeah. Oh God,
that's good to know. I actually just saw an article the other day about how there's something in Sprite or like those lemon lime sodas that could actually help with hangover, like a hangover cure. But I'm with you on shaking up sodas sometimes to flatten them on purpose.
Oh yeah,
really?
Yeah.
God, the both of you.
When I make root beer floats, the worst part is when you pour the when you pour the soda on the ice cream and it just goes, it turns into fucking Mount Vesuvius.
Yeah.
So, but brown, if you flatten it,
Then root beer floats.
Then you don't get all that bullshit, and you still get all the delicious flavors.
Ugh, root beer floats too. You put the two of you like children.
I so need a root beer float now. You said
you're
that.
Yeah, you need it. Yeah, you're very easily influenced. I'm sure you could wouldn't mind a few pops too from the bar.
Jeez. But yeah, I'm back on the mend. I'm full of energy today. It's all good. It's all good.
There you go.
I feel like I can see you leaving the barn just like still all haggard and shit.
Oh,
and if
yeah.
somebody happened to be walking by, they'd be like, what did the animals do to him in there?
I think that's exactly what my wife thought. She pulled up as I was coming out of the barn and she just thought, I'm fucking married to that. What am I doing?
I'm picturing an open bathrobe, jockey short, you know, like tidy whities. You're fucking in your socks wearing like maybe some slippers.
6 liter like, Coca-Cola has been all shaken up under my arms.
Flat-ass Coca-Cola. Oh, God. flat-ass Craig Lockwood. Unbelievable. That's insane. All right.
Anyway, Jeff, what's been going on?
It's been madness over
madness.
Here. March has hit us.
March madness.
And we're hitting it back. So I'm working on 21 new cosmic drift knives with David. We're getting 20 of them. 21 of them are all glued up. We're working on 14 EDC knives. I got a 9-piece set that we're working on with an 8-piece steak knife set to go with that. And then we're working on a 4-piece set that's Rolling Stones themed. A customer of ours wanted a Rolling Stones themed set. So we're working on that too. And that guy is...
How are you doing that? How is it themed?
Well, I'm not going to talk about it because it's going to be very...
It's the lips, isn't it?
Well, it's the lips, but it's like going to be very like, you know, 8-bit lips. I mean, it's not going to be like rounded lips. It's not going to be the lips and tongue. I'm giving the kind of the ode to the lips and tongue in the best way I can. It's going to be fun. And I got a piece of nice Damascus from Bob Rankin. And then I got some more steel coming from Coy Baker, Baker Forge and Tool, more raindrops. Copper my and I'm getting more of that. It's been fucking great, and this has been like the first week where I haven't had heart palpitations. I haven't had a drink in a month. I haven't had caffeine in a month. I've kind of done a lot of meditation, taking care of shit, and I feel like I'm kind of getting back to where I'm supposed to be. I'm going to have a drink on Tuesday because I'm going into the city and I'm going to go to Madison Square Garden to see the fucking triumphant Knicks who are on an 8-game win streak as of today.
You just jinxed them.
There's no such thing as a goddamn jinx. I sent you that. Did I send you that?
I watched it, yeah.
I listen to the greatest. I tell you what, I listen. Now we're talking about podcasting stuff. I listen to sports radio all the time. And it's interesting because it's, imagine, you know, we do this once a week, you know, and then we all have other things going on, but we don't really record that much. Imagine a radio station that has to do 24 hours of live programming 7 days a week. I listen because I'm just like listening for how the fuck do they do it? And then they have guys who are like on call if somebody gets sick or somebody get hung over. And I listen to the sports radio, and there was this one guy who got a call in. And the call-in guy said, we're blaming you for the demise of the Mets because you said the Mets were going to win. And this guy loses his mind. He says, there's no such thing as a jinx. And they fucking start screaming at each other. And it was hilarious. And it was like, perfect. So that's where I sent it to Craig, and that's where Craig's is. So I'm going to go. I'm going to get a steak at a steakhouse. I'm going to have a glass of wine like a gentleman. I'm going to go see the fucking Knicks destroy the Hornets. Charlotte Hornets, you're going down. They're the second worst team in the division, so I ain't too worried about it. That's it.
Nice.
Oh, remember, and then
flat Coke the next day. That's what you need.
No Coca-Cola, but we do run a couple ads, and then we have a follow up to our deep cuts segment. Our deep cuts segment last week. I have a follow up to deep cuts.
Nice. Okay. Well, in the meantime, we shall play this.
Knife Talk is sponsored by Evenheat, the manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available. To find your next oven, go to
knifetalk.net/heat. Because that will take you to Soul Ceramics, who are a distributor of Evenheats. They've got some already built, already ready to ship. You'll get $70 or $75 off the list price, and you'll also get free shipping in the US. So that's knifetalk.net/heat, and I've got that link down in the description.
Jeff, I got a question for you.
Shoot.
You were talking about you're using the Baker Forge and Tool steel, the Kupermai, or the what do they call it, Kumai?
He's got all sorts of names for it. It's like, yeah.
How was that for? Because I've never worked with it, and I would be curious to hear your take on it. I couldn't tell. Was it stock removal? Did you forge it? How was the heat treating? All the etching and finishing and all that stuff.
Great question, and I'll tell you, I stock removed it because you know they make, you know, Coy Baker and the guys make great stuff, and it has, it's a core of 80 CRV2 with a layer of copper and then jacketed with laminated steel. So you can't, if you forge it, you're gonna, what you don't want is they have the copper kind of get into the core, you know. So I stock removed it, and it was a breeze to work with. Nice. And it was annealed, it cut easy as anything. And then the stock removal was very easy. It was super easy to work with. And actually, it's easier than anything else because the copper sticks out like a sore thumb. So when you're pre-grinding it, you don't have to guess where the jacketing ends and begins and ends. So it's like it highlights, the copper highlights where your core is.
Cool.
So it was super duper easy to use. It was super easy to treat, heat treat. It was, you know, It was a breeze, to the point where we posted it, and then we sold it and went out to the UK, which was really cool, to a motorcycle guy, motorcycle impresario or something like that. And then we got a list of people who want more. So I reached out to Coy and got more on the way. So nice. It's great. Really easy to use. Really easy to use.
You used coffee to make the pattern pop?
I did. I used your coffee method. I got some. I went down to CVS, got that old Classico, and kept it cold. And it was easy. It was easy as pie.
That was great.
And it was great. No, it was great. Really great.
I've been seeing people use the Gator Piss etch. Have you seen that Baker Tool sells that? I don't know how I feel about the name, but fuck,
well,
some of the results I'm seeing.
That's the thing. So Coy Baker came up with, and if you actually, if you want to listen more to it, you can listen to the new episode of the Axe and Iron podcast. They had Baker Forge and Tool Bay, Coy Baker on, and he's got a thing. He makes this etchant, and they decided to call it Gator Piss. And God bless you. God bless you, Coy. You know what the fuck you're doing. He's growing at an exponential level. The product he sent me a bar of it a while ago, and I never got to it, and I got to it, and it was just like easy to work with.
Yeah.
God bless you with the Gator Piss. God bless you. And apparently it's awesome stuff. But if I'm making a chef knife, I don't know if I could tell my customers, yeah, this is soaked
in Gator Piss.
Soaked
piss.
In. Nice, you know, soak in Gator Piss.
I mean, God bless him, though. It fucking stuff
don't
awesome.
Worry, it's food safe.
Yeah, he's doing awesome shit. He's doing awesome stuff. But it's
no,
like,
absolutely.
You know, and he knows it's controversial. He knows, like, yeah, look, it that is what perfect. It is. So. God bless him.
Like, how will that copper hold up over time? Will that fade? What will happen?
I don't know. I mean, the only thing about it that was that when I went to etch my maker's mark in, the copper smeared a little bit, but I wiped it all off. You know, so I didn't really like the deep etch. But other than that, it was, I don't know. I don't know how it holds on to when you're heat treating it at whatever. 1475 or whatever it was. Sure. I don't know how the copper don't melt out, but that ain't my problem.
But
I mean, it
has
worked great.
It has a actually surprisingly high melting temperature for a non-ferrous metal. But yeah, I've been seeing the Baker steel, Baker tool, or Baker Forge steel around, and I think his name is Jordan Berthelot, JB Blades, on Instagram, and the results he's getting just fucking blow me away.
It's incredible. Easy steel to work with. I mean, it's incredibly easy steel to work with. Now, I would imagine, I don't know well enough.
Sure.
He sells them in, you know, different thicknesses. I would imagine that it would be pretty dicey to forge once you get the billet. Like, you know, the chances of delamination and stuff like that are probably very high. And the other thing is you don't want that, you know, you want to get rid of that copper before you get to the edge. So you got to be careful. But
you're going to have different sort of thicknesses of jacketing as well then, aren't you?
The piece I got had a very, I said to him, I got lucky with it. And he goes, what do you mean you got lucky? And I was just like, this ADCRV2 was, I didn't have a whole lot to work with. So I was winging it, honestly. And, you know, it was great. It was perfect. It wasn't great. I ordered more.
Yeah. Nice. So yeah, I got a chunk of their steel. I got a chunk of their integral stuff actually, which is fucking cool move on them, because I've never seen anybody do it. And the first time I saw them doing it, I was like, fuck, of course. How has nobody done this before? But I haven't put it to use yet. But I'm getting. I talked to them about forging it because the bar stock was so big. I was like, fuck, I can split this in half and get two knives out of it. But they talked to me about being careful about top end ranges and stuff like that, because the copper can melt at what are typical forging temperatures for the steel. So yeah, if you do get the Kumai, you don't really want to mess with forging it probably too hot or really at all, because things will go sideways pretty fucking quick.
And I am a big pussy chicken coward when it comes to some of the stuff, and it was as easy to work
yellow
with as possible.
Salamander.
I mean, I said it as much as I get a big pussy coward sometimes, and it was easy to fucking work with, that's for sure.
Oh, so, great. Good result.
So are you going to use it for culinary stuff or just for the...
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Interested to see that.
I already did one. I already did one. I did it and it got great results, and then they did a nice photo edit of it, and, you know, God bless them. So I like it. I like it a lot.
Lovely. Okay. Well, if you're going to be using some special stuff like that, you're going to need some special sort of abrasives.
Combat Abrasives makes the world's best abrasive belts for knife makers. Available in any size at unbelievable prices. Go take a look at combatabrasives.com and get 15% off with promo code KNIFETALK15. Do it now.
Do it now. So, deep cuts, which we started last week.
Okay.
I liked it. Apparently, we have an update.
There is a great update from one of our listeners. So last week on the deep cuts segment, we were talking about the idea of Section 230, which is a United States code that protects these internet companies from being sued. You know, basically, that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And then there's this new case called Gonzalez versus Google, which is saying that they're suing Google, which is the owner of YouTube, because this Gonzalez family, they tragically lost their child to gunmen from ISIS, and they were basically saying that because YouTube uses algorithms to recommend more videos, that recommendation is promoting certain videos that might be inappropriate, and then that promotion shouldn't be covered by Section 230, right? So that makes we're up to date.
Yeah.
So then we were bringing that over to the knife making community and talking, because we get a lot of messages of people saying I'm being suppressed, my information is being suppressed, or they're saying it's a weapon, or getting, you know, whatever. So Rob McKinnon, who is a great listener of the podcast, awesome knife maker, good dude, sent me a message, and he said, this happens to me a lot, and you can actually check to see your status in regards to how you are seen from Instagram. And this was an eye-opener. So this is going to be audience participation. So right now, if you go on to your Instagram feed and you go into settings and then you go into account and then you go into account status, you will go to a room, a little page, which will say recommended and then restricted. And it basically will tell you, it'll show you what posts are against their community guidelines or against you being recommended. So I went to that. So Instagram, settings, account status, and I noticed that three of my posts were flagged for being they have two things, against community guidelines and against being recommended. So being recommended would be like, you know, how that push, that Instagram push that people get sometimes. So I had three posts that were, one was this goofy fucking Wonder Woman petty knife. And then, I mean, it was like the dumbest, this is the dumbest old posts, but the algorithm saw those as being deemed as, you know, worthy of not being recommended. And I had noticed in the past, I don't know, maybe 6 months to a year, that I felt as though I was getting, like, not suppressed, but I wasn't getting the traction that I was, you know, noticing in the past. So I decided, I looked at those and I'm like, get rid of them. Just get rid of them. You can appeal or you can get rid of them. So I just got rid of them. I got rid of them. And I just started kind of, all of a sudden, my growth was gaining. You know, I was all of a sudden, I'm like, I noticed in the past, you know, maybe week, a substantial growth based off of what had happened in the past. So now I'm starting to be recommended. So it was interesting because it is this idea of they're trying to police some things that they think that they shouldn't be recommending you for that reason of, like, you know, I don't want to get sued because somebody took a Wonder Woman knife and shoved it up their ass. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it does.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's interesting that you can do that. So you can see.
Well, they don't make a big stink about it, but you can actually see, and then it makes you realize that you can see what that they don't like, and you can address it. Yeah. And then that shows.
Does it give you a reason that when you can see the
it
one?
It just goes again. I mean, I didn't screen capture it, but it goes again. You know, it says why it goes against. But there's two different steps. It's either goes against community guidelines or goes against us promoting you.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't really say that the way it's supposed to be, but I mean, there's, you know, obviously if it's, you know, so you can get you can fix your problems for the most part, but at the same time, it's them covering their ass by saying, look, you know, if you decide to sue Instagram because they got you doing whatever, we showed them what we don't want to see, and you can either fix it or not. And then if you don't fix it, then you don't get recommended. If you fix it, you get recommended. So it is pretty. But all I can think of is that this is all completely based off of the Section 230, whether or not they're liable for promoting stuff or not.
That's interesting. I just looked at mine and. Apparently, surprisingly, I'm good to go. I continue to be the golden child.
Yeah, the golden child. Well, I had Aaron Goff on Full Blast. We had a really good conversation, and we didn't talk about AI because he says it's not really AI. These are deep learning programs or algorithms. Deep learning is kind of more along the lines of what it actually is. And he says that he consciously goes out and doesn't post certain things because he doesn't want to be demonetized.
Sure.
What do you think, guys?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I didn't know that tool was available. And I think if anybody is bitching about saying their content is being shown why, at least they can see why now. And as you say, see the kind of stuff that's not sort of appreciated.
Yeah.
It's something at least.
Yeah, I think it's interesting too. I had no idea that existed or that part of the platform existed either, as at least a reference or something like that. So you can make those adjustments and changes, you know. And it's interesting because it seems like it would be to Instagram's benefit to let you know that. But they give you all kind of notifications and stuff like that about, you know, hey, do you want to do reels? Oh, right. You could get bonuses. Oh, blah, blah, all this other shit. But they don't, like, jump in at least even into your notifications and say, by the way, this post didn't make the, you know, whatever, doesn't meet our guidelines. Tap to get more information and figure out what you can do about it. I'm astonished that that doesn't happen.
Well, but I mean, once in a while I'll get a message, you know, I'll be using music and then I'll get a message saying this music that they allowed me to use is a copyright infringement in Canada. which is like, what do you mean? I do enough rush for you, Canada? Canada didn't get enough rush or something like that. I'm just like, give me a break. But what's interesting is it, you know, it's not just, I think that most knife makers just think, this is free, this is suppressing my freedoms and suppressing my this is covering their fucking legal asses you maniacs. Because, I mean, let's face it, you know, a lot of times people don't read enough fucking Spider-Man comics. With great power comes great responsibility. There's a lot of, like, great power and just no responsibility. So I think that the Instagram and these guys have to figure out ways in which they can kind of minimize their legal responsibility.
Sure. Well, and to the people who are saying, you know, that or feel that their freedoms are being suppressed and stuff, they need to remember that this is Facebook's house, and you don't need to be there, and they don't have an obligation to keep you there. I mean, they kick people off the platform all the time, right? So if you're going to play in their sandbox, you got to play by their fucking rules, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. At the end of the day, it's a business, and it's their business. Yeah.
But last but not least, I guess that Instagram is now following in Twitter's thing, and they're thinking about, like, allowing you to buy verification, which is just, like, fucking lame.
Ridiculous, yeah.
Fucking wacko.
Some of the Twitter stuff I saw, people buying basically fake account, or not fake account, but what, or I guess they were faking the accounts. But it was pretty hilarious to see them talking as other brands or.
Right.
Fuck, some of those posts were ridiculous.
Well, there you go. Deep cuts, ladies and germs.
There we go.
Rob McKinnon, thank you very much.
Is he the one who gave you the tip?
Yeah, sent that in, and he did the old thing. So account settings, account status, and see what kind of fucking bullshit that's the other thing. Deep learning isn't learning it fast enough because they put in some horse shit. You know, it's like, you know, some of they're catching some nonsense. So blah, blah, blah.
It's all good. It's all good. Shall we get on with some questions?
Sure.
Okay. Let's have a look. Bramolenshot, I think it is. They've messaged us on Instagram. We are Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. If you've got a question, DM us.
I think it's Bram Molenshot.
Molenshot.
Or as you like to say, Bramolenshot.
Bramolenshot. Something like that. Something like that. So a good friend of mine asked me a while back to make him a knife as a gift for his girlfriend in the near future. Is that for a girlfriend he's hoping to have in the near future? Or I don't know. He said, I know the girlfriend as well. But now very recently, the girlfriend asked me the same thing, to make a knife she wants to give as a birthday gift to him. So what do you do? I guess you're making two knives.
Yeah, make them both. Make them both.
The same thing happened to me Christmas before last, where a usual customer of mine came to me wanting something special for his wife. And she came to me wanting something special for him as well. And they were both chef knives they wanted. I just made them slightly different. So they almost form a set. That is what they both want. Give the people what they want, damn it.
Take the money.
I think if you do it, you get a pass on gifts or wedding gifts or whatever in the future for a while. And birthday gifts. No more birthday gifts for these guys for a while because holy shit. Because really, it's a gift from you, the maker, to that person.
No, they're paying.
The other person's like, hey, you should make this thing for my girlfriend.
They're paying him.
No, they're paying. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he said free.
No, fuck that.
Okay, never mind then. Scratch what I said.
I had a couple who did that, and I could tell that the wife was a little bit. So they opened for Christmas. So he got knives for her. She got knives for him. I could tell that the wife was a little irritated that I got them for both. Like, I feel as though there was a little bit of like, well, I wish you had told me, you know, it's like, I mean, it's like, cause it's also, it's no longer really when you get, if you're there's a married couple and you're getting, or you're making a knife for one of them, you're making a knife for both of them.
Right. So really, like, really, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, let's just cut the shit. You know, it's like they're living together. It's not like there's like a knife drawer for him and her. So like when you're making it both of them. So I think that this wife was just a little bit just like, got fucking three goddamn knives for Christmas. The fader got all the money and we got all the goddamn knives. I guess the way it is. I'm not going to spoil it.
You're not going to break the secrets, are you? I mean, come on. Come on. Who wants to take the next one?
Yeah, this next one's from Littleton Supply Co. He says, what's up, fellas? A friend of mine just asked me to do a production run of 100 knives to sell within a startup business. Do you guys have any tips for streamlining and uniforming your knives for small batch production runs? Right now, I'm looking at getting my blanks cut on a water jet, and I'm planning on doing some single piece micarta scales. Any advice is much appreciated.
P.S. Littleton Supply Company is hilarious, and he is a great follow. He's very funny, and I'm glad he listens to the show. So, funny guy.
This is more your guys' realm. Why don't you shoot?
Yeah, I mean, loads of tips for doing, 100 run is pretty much what I do a lot of. When you're considering your design, make sure, just little things like any sort of radiuses that you've got a tool especially for that just to speed things up. We've talked in the past about having something like multiple drill presses so you don't have to, taking a chuck out, putting a countersink in or whatever you need to do. You just got them all set up. And what I tend to do is the first 10. So if you're doing 100, I do the first 10 in one batch. And then once I'm very happy that they're perfect, then I'm going to do the next 90 in the next batch.
Oh, wow.
Reason for that is if you make a simple error when you're doing a batch of 100, all 100 are fucked.
Right.
So if it's a new model, I always just do 10 first of all. Note every sort of step of that. So, if you do go wrong, you're only losing 10. You're not losing, the full batch. You can do it really economically if you're doing 100 and you get the water jet cut as well. Just make some considerations in that design, how you're going to repeat things so often. Whereas if it's a one-off, you can be a bit more sort of wild with your design. When there's 100, if there's something as simple as... let's say the radius under the handle, what it comes into the handle there. If you don't have a tool for that and you're doing that by hand every time, if it's just one, it may take you 45 minutes or whatever. If it's 100 of them, that's a week's work just doing that one little job. So start small, do a very small batch of them, make sure they're good, then move on to the 100. And little things like economies of scale, like we said, drill presses, they're cheap, get a couple of them, get them set up, and you can just work your way through them. And what I tend to do then is have sort of two or three days of grinding, two or three days of glue-ups, rather than piecemeal them all, because if you're doing one at a time, there's a lot of setup time that you're wasting.
I'm curious, so when you get your work water jet or cut, you don't have the bolt holes. I couldn't think what they're fucking called. Like the Corby bolt holes in the tang. You don't have those cut as well?
Yeah, I do. And everything sort of skeletonized as well. Right, everything's ready to go, right. Basically. Always.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love it. What, you have more to say?
No. That's pretty much it.
I'm fucking into a big project. I think the one thing I would highly suggest is don't feel overwhelmed. It isn't really that as much work as you think. I think people get a little bit overwhelmed by the idea of a batch like that. What Craig said is perfect, and you got to get at least one through to the end before you start. Before you start going at them, because you don't want to get one fucked up. One thing I'll say that I have noticed with certain stainless steels, and I actually talked about it with Aaron, is after you heat treat, a lot of times there will be some expansion. So you have to have for your holes. So you might want to make sure that you have some things that you can repair problems with. Like, let's say if all of a sudden you drill everything and then the countersinks aren't, the holes aren't lining up and your Corbys aren't fitting. Get yourself a carbide, like a Dremel tool, like a good Dremel tool, and stick it in your drill press. And a lot of times you can repair a tight hole instead of destroying all your drill bits. One of them, like a carbide burr will fix all problems. All of a sudden you don't have any problems anymore. You have to have sections to get fix. You have to have areas where you know that you can fix in a clutch situation. And they'll get overwhelmed. And everything he said is right. Everything Craig said is right. I would be excited to do it. I would love to get an opportunity to do 100. Now I just do batches of 20, batches of 40. I do enjoy doing them. I like the process. I like the efficiencies. I feel like you're in control. And there are days it's going to suck. And just allow the suck to not be so bad, you know.
I've got another thing, actually. So... I always use a template for my scales, to cut scales out of G10 or wherever it may be. I never did for a long time. I'd use, obviously, templates for, you know, my blade and then, you know, the stock. But when it comes to handle material, I never did. And when I was doing batches, what I used to do was, you know, I'd finish one. Before I glue up, I'd use that as the template for the next one. Finish one and move on that way. But any slight discrepancy gets multiplied every time you use it over. So your 80th knife, the handle... could be like 6 mil difference to that first knife. Whereas if you just get one thing that you use your template each time, and every time you draw around that same template, you know they're all going to be exactly the same. I think it's quite an easy mistake to make. It's just, you know, just pick up any one thinking they're all going to be the same. But if you're not using a master template, just going off your last one, it could just be half a millimeter difference. But once you're doing 100 of them, you could easily get a 5 mil difference.
That's also a good move, is I would take one of your water jet blanks and use it for all your holes, drilling all your holes in your scales. When you're drawing out your handle scales, oversize the cuts and then use one of the templates to do all the drilling. You can do that like a fucking, that's a bomb move. And then all of a sudden one day you're just using one template to, and the template is all where your drill holes go. Yeah. And that's a strong move too. I don't do one at a time. I don't do one knife to one set of scales, because that's just like some horse shit. You can get yourself bogged down by having to, you know, once in a while you'll have to, you know, label, maybe this one fits better than that. But if you oversize everything, oversize all your cuts, and then just grind them after it's all glued up, you know, who gives a shit? You know, you have a little excess to take off. So, yeah, have a good time, Littleton, and think of it, just like I said, don't get overwhelmed. You know, it's a great opportunity to, you'll be a better knife maker when you do batches. It's always the case, and you'll learn more about how to do it, and you won't be so overwhelmed, and you'll be able to do it again. Awesome. Great opportunity. Yeah.
Cool. And if you're doing any water jet cutting or laser cutting, whatever like that, if you're wondering how to design it, how to make that file, you know, that you need to send off, you can always go to knifeprint.com. It's in the browser. There's no software to download, no licensing and all that rubbish. They've got a really good education center there to show you how to do it. So if you've never done any sort of CAD before, it's the perfect place to start. But then they can also cut the steel for you. So there's a big print button, and it's as if it's a home printer at home, press print. But then you get the blanks through the post. So go take a look at knifeprint.com. They've got a version 2 coming out, which I believe is in the next 2 weeks, where they're going to make things even simpler again, to things, you know, skeletonize your handles and all that kind of stuff. Really great service, knifeprint.com.
Nice.
Okay.
Next one comes from Larson Blades. I've heard you guys discuss do's and don'ts for knife shows. How about hammer-ins or open houses? I'm hoping to go to one at a local maker this summer. And I don't want to make an ass of myself. So what are the do's and don'ts of hammer-ins? And I got a good story. I got a good one.
I would say do bring your own food and beer if it's going to be that kind of occasion, because you don't want to be the guy eating everybody else's shit.
That's a good call. And also don't assume that they're going to let you do anything.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's just like, you know, maybe they don't know you. So just be prepared for all situations.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify?
Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
I tell you a funny story. I had when I got my tire hammer, and I had a hammer in here. I had a local friend who just happened to, he wanted to stop by and see. And he's kind of like a tour director type. He's not a metal worker at all. And the guys and I were trying to fix something, or fix the tire, fix something like that, or move it to, you know, move it around a little bit. And my friend, who was wearing a fucking polo shirt, a pink polo shirt with a sweater over his shoulders, started telling them what to do. You need to move that over there, and you got to do it. And these, and John and Cliff and, you know, Pat Quinn and all these guys, they look at this fucking goofball. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? You know, he didn't even know. He's like, oh, I just, you know, I could see that you got that problem over there. You should move that over there. And he started tour directing. It was like, I was like, bro, you got to shut the fuck up. These guys are going to put it on you. You're not even supposed to be here. Don't fucking tell them what to do. You've never even lifted a wrench. Knock it off. So keep your mouth to yourself. Keep your mouth shut, I would say. That's number one.
I could see that with the boat shoes and like the H&M shorts.
This guy, I'm not even exaggerating. It was just like, bro, this might work. This might work where you're from, but this is not for you, dude. You don't, you've never even seen a tire hammer. You know, so knock it off. But it reminded me of one thing that we hated. Back at the Center for Metal Arts, when I was there and we would have classes, we would clean the shop up and we would be working on projects and get the classroom fit up and all squared away. We used to hate it when these, you know, guys are excited to take the class. Maybe they've come from a long distance and they'll look around the shop and they're eyeballing shit. And they're looking down this, and, well, you use this welder. Why don't you use this? And, oh, you're doing that. Well, why don't you do that? Fucking be respectful and keep your goddamn mouth shut. Nobody likes it. I used to fucking hate it. These guys were like, all of a sudden, they're the inspector on a job. They're looking at railings, and they're looking, your eyeballs closed, and they're seeing if it's out of square. I'm just like, bro, take your class and get the fuck out of here. Get out of here. I remember how much I hated that.
You know what you should do, crew?
Oh, It's bad because they're excited. You know what? I don't blame them. They took a plane from wherever, and they're coming into a metal shop, and they're seeing the things that they're used to seeing. But then they're just like, all of a sudden, they're feeling the need to, you know what you should do. And it's like, nobody wants your opinion. Yeah. So,
I mean, that brings up a good point. It's just also, and you kind of said it already, but to just generally be respectful of the space. Don't fucking touch anything unless somebody invites you to touch any tools or any equipment or whatever. I don't know. I've seen hammer-ins where people are just walking around, nosing around, picking stuff up, putting it elsewhere. We did a hammer-in at Dragon's Breath Forge. We did this like forging thing. Oh, that's what it was. So Dragon's Breath Forge does a hammer-in every year. And then like a month later in November, we did an open studio for like the holidays and try to get people into, and those guys were like selling stuff. And my knife that we did at the hammer-in a month prior grew some legs. And so don't fucking touch stuff.
People stole it?
Yeah, my knife was gone at the end of that.
God damn, that's fucking bad. That's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
It makes you not want to do it again.
Oh, yeah. I was like, no, I'm not doing that again.
Oh, and also, don't be like, do you think you could raise this anvil? It's a little bit too short for me. Or where do you have the, don't ask for shit. That's the other thing. It's like, oh, do you happen to have any, beeswax? You don't have any beeswax around? I usually like to put some beeswax. Or, oh, this, what kind of forge is this? Do you have any, do you have something that could hold my material so it doesn't fall out? Do you have any bright tong? Don't, dude, just be nice. Be nice and smile and bring a gift and keep your fucking trap shut and you'll be invited back. Guaranteed.
Pretend like you're in a museum. Don't touch anything. I'm talking unless somebody talks to you. No, I'm just joking.
Give them something nice.
But hey, really wanna, have fun.
If you want to, we're like, keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. Shut your fucking ass. Ice yourself. Fuck you. Get out of here already. You're not welcome anymore, Larson Blades. You're not welcome to this hammering anymore. Get out.
You know. I mean, maybe bring some work to share if you're confident in where you're at.
Let's do what the fucking strong move is. What would be the strong move to when you show up to a hammer in? What's the strong move? The strong move is?
A bottle of Basil Hayden's for the host.
Yo, you show up with a couple dozen donuts and some fucking coffee, or a fucking tray of bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches. They're gonna let you. They're gonna let you fuck their wife or something like that.
He's not right.
They're gonna let you do whatever the fuck you want.
That's
you show
all
up.
It takes.
That's what it. I was a little bit all crazy there.
But don't you dare enjoy yourself. That's the one golden rule.
There was a guy who would come to the Dragon's Breath Forge hammering like every year, and he would bring donuts and food and snacks for people. He just brought them for whoever, whatever. And he was always the first guy there. And I wasn't mad about it.
A nice couple dozen donuts for everybody. Oh, strong move. There you go, Larson.
There you go.
That's pretty thorough.
You know what you could do? You could take your own belts as well. And you could go to maritimeknifesupply.com. Buy 10, you get one free. Take the free belt with you. That's what I'd say. MaritimeKnifeSupply.com.
Please give them one belt. Here you go.
A
bouquet of belts of abrasives. Steel, belts, handle materials, tools, forges, kilns. They've got the lot there. They're the Canadian distributor for combat abrasives too. They also sell Rhino Wet and Rhino Stick and all the good stuff that we all use. Go take a look. MaritimeKnifeSupply.com. The Maritime Knife Supply on Instagram as well, so go follow them. Good guys.
We also have listener feedback, and this is going to be the last week for rookie moves. So,
okay. I do have one more thing for the hammer in.
Okay, go ahead.
So, because I've seen this happen and had it happen to me lots of times, don't interrupt other people's conversations. Stand there, listen, wait your fucking turn. Don't be rude. It happens so often. It's kind of shocking.
There you go.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Bring eye protection.
And hearing protection. Wear pants. Yeah. Closed-toe shoes.
There you go.
Definitely wear pants. Right, I'm going to do another question. But if you guys look through, we've got a huge list there. Just look through the list and see if anything jumps out at you. We'll do one each, then we'll move on. This one's from Nathan Scott. Again, he's Instagrammed us, DM'd us at Knife Talk Podcast. And he says, do you guys ever have a problem knowing when to stop? I mean, I've had many times that I quote somebody a cheaper price for a knife, knowing that they don't have a lot of extra money, but I end up spending as much more time in it than I normally would. I seem to have a problem seeking perfection, even though my knives are always far from it. Mareko, you go first, because I have a feeling that you may suffer from this.
I do struggle with perfectionism. I've tried to work through that, because the reality is perfection is not real. Nowadays I'm looking to do, you know, just as good of a job as I did on the last knife I made, and hoping to at least learn learn one thing or improve on one thing in a slight way. There's a really good book. Oh God, of course I can't remember. I remember the author's name, Angela Duckworth, but it's about growing and like continuing to get better, but it's small little incremental steps at a time instead of just trying to like go from a brand new didn't know shit knife maker to making the best fucking knife in the world. Like, you got to take the small steps, right? And I think that's one of the things that I think a lot of people struggle with, and I know I struggle with, is like you're trying to like all of a sudden make the best knife you're ever making your entire fucking life, and that's not going to happen. So if you wrap your head around that and just hope to at least learn one thing or improve one little small thing, even if it's just the efficiency of your hand sanding, like something as simple as that. It feels good. You got better at it. Move the fuck on and get to the next piece. Because I, like I said, I struggle with that, and I want to keep agonizing over the details that do not need to be agonized over. Figuring out when to stop is hard, but it is important to do that because you're not going to get it all done in this one knife. You get a little bit, and then you'll do more on the next one.
I was given a book years ago, from a designer from New York, funny, I've got James Victor. And it was called Feck Perfection. obviously, a take on Feck Perfection. And very much along the lines of that, just move on. And if there's something you're not... I mean, there's this thing. If it's not functional or there's an obvious error, obviously you need to redo it or make it good. But if there's... I mean, I always handle, you know, my knives, you know, give them to other people to look at, you know, family members and all the rest. And can you see anything in there? I know if there's an error in there, and I'll give it to them to see it. And they never do. But sometimes we get hung up on these little things. But as long as we're aware of it, and the next time you do one, you know, you try not to make that same mistake. But I don't think anything's ever left here when I'm 100% happy with it.
Sure.
And you know, if you build into a cost as well, which, you know, you open up the email by saying, you know, that they want the best price they can, all the rest of it, you need to just let things go. And 99% of the time, they're not even going to see that slight imperfection that you may see anyway.
For sure. I just want to add that the book that I was trying to refer to is called, aptly enough, it's called Grit. It's by Angela Duckworth, and she's got a really great TED Talk about the power of passion and continuing to move forward and be willing to make mistakes and be imperfect to continue to progress.
When I talked to Aaron Goff, he was saying that he was referring to all the steps as being good days. And he says, I want the whole knife to be all good days. Mm. And it was very interesting because breaking down all these different steps and trying to make sure that they come out right is, you know, what you want and what you want in doing a knife. And what's interesting to me is the idea of simplifying. I try to make things simple. I try to make my decision-making simple. I don't try to do things too many embellishments. I really try to focus on simple steps. I see knife making as stringing steps together, like stringing a series of steps together, and then you end up with the knife. This is where your starting point is. This is where your stopping point is. I try my hardest not to go back. The only time we went back on something is I think that we were having a problem. We weren't putting enough electrolyte on our, when we were putting the stencil on and they were coming out, I didn't like the way some of them came out. So I took it back and we re-hand sanded it. And I didn't really like to do that. I didn't want to do a step back to fix a problem. So I really do everything I can to not have to go backwards. And even, you know, just going back with grits and stuff like that. Like we're doing, this Damascus knife for this set. And I ground it thin and I heat treated it and it looks great and stuff like that. And I know for a fact that I want to make sure before I etch it and before I coffee etch it that I got all the decarb out. So I'm planning on doing some little steps, tricky steps to make sure that everything came out right. But at the same time, in my mind, I think I don't want to do any step backwards. And that's the problem, trying to figure out ways in which to have simple set points where you don't have to go backwards, and you're going to feel a lot more satisfied with the job that you've done.
Sure. Yeah.
And once in a while, you want to, if guys, you know, guys giving you the, you know, the heart of gold story, and, you know, he's giving you the old, the smallest flute playing the smallest violin, my heart bleeds for you, because, you know, I really want a knife, but I only have $55. You don't have to give him the Titanic, you know. I think that you can also once in a while be like, ah, listen, I'll throw him a bone and do a little bit better job than I wanted to, just because, what the fuck, who cares?
Okay. You guys, seen any of the questions that jump out at you?
Yeah, I got one here from Brody. He says, hey, fellas, I got a question for you. So I live in rural country Queensland in Australia. I'd love to start selling my knives. I'd start by focusing on selling at local Sunday markets, where I'd also sell jerky I make from the hunting we do. Question about the selling. Should I make roughly 10 similar styled knives and try my best to sell them all, or make a variety and see what sells for my area? Thank you.
I'd fucking sell the jerky. I bet the jerky moves faster than the knives.
All day.
But I love fucking beef jerky. Oh my God, it's so fucking good.
I'd say make a variety, particularly if you're just starting. Make a variety and see what, if you're selling them locally, see what locals, what they're willing to spend, and what sort of style of knife would, you know, is what people want.
Yeah.
You mentioned you're a hunter, so maybe there's other hunters in that area as well, you know, if you're sort of deep country, as opposed to, you know, a fine chef knife. So yeah, don't put too much risk out there, I suppose. Just make a few different styles, and if they sell, replace them and work that way. You don't have to come up with it like this massive line of stock, because you could be left with, you know, a bunch of knives that you can't sell. So just a few different styles. If they sell, replace that one. And if you find a pattern over time, then, you know, like you've got a Skinner, which always sells, maybe make 5-10 of them, and, you know, and do it that way. Yeah, that's all I could say, I suppose.
Here's a scenario. All three of us are going to, we have a gun is pointed at our heads, and we have to do a table at a farmer's market. What are you bringing to the table? What are your plans to sell?
Pizza.
Knife related.
Oh, right. I was going to say eggs.
Yeah, fucking eggs. Don't start with a fucking, this is an egg talk, you ponce, you. So you're the knife maker at a farmer's market. And let's say wherever you have to figure out what's your demographic and what are you going to bring?
Okay. Even though I've yet to make one, as Kyle keeps reminding me, Kyle Daly, it would be probably a bottle opener.
Kyle Heath, sorry.
Just because everybody always uses a bottle opener. So that'd probably be an easier sell, lower cost item.
Very good. What else? That's it? You just bring bottle openers?
Just bottle openers.
That's it? That's your fucking whole...
A bottle opener guy. Here, yeah.
The fucking bottle opener guy, that's all you're going to bring? And a fucking egg, and you're going to show up in your pajamas too? Jesus, that's it? You're just going to bring bottle openers? They're expecting knives.
Well, if you're starting off, listen, there's a gun to my head.
Yeah, right? They want you to bring... You're a knife maker. They want you to be the knife making guy.
Okay.
Bring the bottle openers, but, you know, what else?
Let's face it, what we make generally probably wouldn't sell too well at the farmer's market.
No, this is the project. The project is to think doesn't have to be exactly.
Well, exactly. Fucking bottle openers. Just take my answer, for God's sake.
That's it.
You know. Fucking.
That's it.
Yes, bottle openers.
All right.
Final answer.
What are you going to bring?
Lock it in,
Brecco.
If I feel like a santoku for me, culinary knife wise, a santoku is usually a really good go-to for people, which is like a 6.5 to 7 inch knife, or I guess 6 to 7. And then I don't know, maybe a fillet knife. I feel like people are always excited about fillet knives, even though they hardly ever use them unless they're fishermen. And I probably bring my grinder and offer to sharpen people's knives, as I have already done at local markets, because most people are actually happy with the knives they got. They just need their shit sharpened. So that might not also be a bad move to, if you can, lug along your grinder to offer some sharpening.
I would think, what's the demographic of the people coming to this farmer's market? And maybe a lot of them don't know that I'm here with, and they probably didn't bring a lot of money to spend on stuff. So I would try to, you know, Craig had a good idea with the bottle openers. I would do the fast pickup things for people who are, you know, they're just kind of strolling through. You know, they're not there to see you. You want to focus on the people who you want that fast move. I would have small like paring knife style knives for kitchen or outdoors, very low cost, because I want people to be like, $200, that's not a crazy expenditure. You know, that's not like a, you know, start sweating expenditure. You know, you start to put up the $700 knife, it's just like, that's the sweat starts to pour a little bit. But if you had a couple of them little everyday knives, like I would think you'd bring your folding knife, Craig, something that like there would be a fast pickup for the special people walking through, you know, who are just looking through stuff. I would totally do small, fast moves.
Pickups, yeah. Well, the money's in the eggs. So what you want?
Where are these Easter eggs?
The knives are the loss leaders, basically, to get people to the table, because the money's in the eggs.
I mean, the jerky's going to move. The fucking jerky, the jerky's going to move. I mean, unless it's not like some of that, you know, it's not some of that, one of them wombats or one of the things from the fucking wet market. This ain't a wet market from Wuhan, you know. You're going to have any bats on there. Don't do that. But like, you know, the good jerky, have a couple small guys there. I would have like small ass knives and that you can move, and the bottle openers too. And then you fucking jam them with some of the higher ticket items. So.
Mm. Well, okay. That actually makes me think, and probably like little EDCs.
Yeah, cure dashies.
Yeah, there would probably be, like something that's easy for, especially if you're in a like a rural area, you know, a knife that somebody can feel like they're getting good use out of it, especially if they're paying at least a couple $100 for it. If it's something they feel good carrying on them to whittle or cut open boxes or cut rope or whatever the fuck they need it for, cut up their jerky, then they
have make up their own jerky. I'm not going to do an Australian accent, but I'm going to make my own jerky and stab some dog.
Gee, you really didn't, did you? didn't even attempt it.
I didn't even attempt it. It's not good.
Craig, do you have an Australian accent?
I don't. I was thinking about this. I've done a few accents on the show, and I'm thinking, at what point does that become racist? You know, so I think maybe I should hold off on the accents.
If you do a New York accent, it's not real. I mean, I'm not offended.
Well, that somebody will be offended, no doubt.
You know who does a great American accent? Honor Kaglar on the Knife and Steel podcast. He did an American accent. It was very good. It was very good. Yeah. It was funny. Really funny.
Cool. But yeah, so we mentioned having the sort of the lower value items, but I think you could have one or two special items.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do that, you might want to use Dharmasteel, for example. Dharmasteel.se, they make stainless Damascus, beautiful, beautiful stuff, beautiful patterns. If you're making something special, that's the stuff that would really sort of turn eyes. Go take a look at Dharmasteel Lab on Instagram, and you can see the kind of stuff people are making. Always beautiful stuff. But if you sign up on their website, create an account, and use Knife Talk at checkout, you'll get 10% off too. So yeah, so get a couple of special items there as well, and just see what happens.
And I'm sorry for browbeating you about bottle openers. Bottle openers are good. Bottle openers are it's that good door opener. You know, the people really like picking those things up because it's like, you know, $35-45, and you walk out with something that you feel is kind of nice. So
yeah, useful. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's move on then, Jeff. What do we have?
We have listener feedback, and we also have, this is going to be the last week for, we have an anonymous why me, why does this always happen to me? I think we should probably do that, we have rookie moves. So we have plenty of stuff if you want. We could do one, we could do another, doesn't matter to me.
Okay, let's do the anonymous why me, right. Why does it always rain on
this
me?
This is fucking good, with a follow-up too. All right, why me, why does this always happen to me? As a stock removal knife maker, I get the occasional jokes about not being a real knife maker like guys who swing a hammer. Some coworkers of mine like to tease me that I'm just a knife assembly shop and that my work is worthy of being sold in truck stops and sketchy gas stations. They have now crossed the line and have started commenting on my social medias while I post my work for sale. I'm spending every spare hour that I have in my knife shop trying to make this work, while balancing two jobs and a family. Their comments are not helping me pay the bills. How do I handle this without being a Cypress knife Karen? Love the show and listen while I'm working on the farm feeding hay to the cows. And I have a follow-up afterwards when you guys decide.
Fuck them. Jesus yeah. Christ. So, yeah, I mean, I've heard the same comments said of my stuff, and I'm sure most people who do stock removal, the people who don't understand may say something like that. But then going on, like, publicly on your social media and sort of berating you there as well. Fucking hell, that's poor show.
What do you think, Greco?
Block them.
Whoa!
Hey,
but they're coworkers.
There you go, straight in.
They're fucking coworkers, though.
Fuck them!
Damn. Making fucking the coffee
Block
break
their asses.
Spicy. Coffee break room is going to be tough. Tough move. I said the same thing to him, and I said, I don't understand why people would want to hurt your business when you're trying to do something. If they don't have some people, you know, for some reason, United Airlines, people like to fucking throw themselves around about United Airlines. You lost my baby. And they throw themselves out and they hashtag United because they want some, you know, from fucking freebies or whatever. But like yeah. a small business, I don't understand why anybody wouldn't want to help them or not do anything. Like even our listeners, they like to throw in some bullshit every time I post something. All of a sudden they throw in the bullshit and I'm just like, and part of me is just like, it's fine. I'm glad you listen to the podcast. But it's like, why wouldn't you want to help me? You know, it's like
yeah.
instead of.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said the same thing. I was like, fuck those guys. And it's annoying. And fuck them. And I said the same. I basically said the same thing. And then what he responded with was, he says, thank you. I did a little bit softer than that. I just said, hey, man, I'm trying to give this dream all I got and working to get it off the ground. If you want to give me crap to my face, I'm good with it. But keep off the social media because it doesn't help me at all. His response was, he thought it would give me an opportunity to explain how my knives are made and that it would draw more people in. I didn't agree with his logic, and I think he knows that now, but I do plan on setting up a camera and shooting some footage of the process. So the guy was just like, well, I thought, you know, I was, you know, all of a sudden this guy is,
I thought it was helping.
Yeah, he yeah. all of a sudden he's the fucking
the guy's a prick.
Director,
the guy's
a prick. Director of development. You know, it's just like, yeah, yeah, well, that gives you the opportunity to, you're being stressful. You're being fucking stressful to me when I don't want the stress, and you're not helping me at all. So fuck off. You did the right thing. So people do that, dude. People think that they're being funny or they're being helpful, and then they're not.
And, yeah. Even non-offensive stuff, like I'm sure the three of us get it on various social things where it could be like a family photo or something, and then somebody will make a reference to like the podcast. It's like it's not relevant at all. It's going to be a very limited few people who will see that. But like my family and that will see that.
Right.
Like, well, what's all this?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
So I do this podcast. It's a little bit weird.
Yeah. I mean, that happened to me recently when I did that collaboration with Dan Bittinger. I did a post about Dan did some cut testing and to demonstrate how the knife cuts, and it cut through the food very nicely and very easily. And some ding dong comments, and I don't know if he was trying to be funny or what, but he got the axe really fucking quick. But he was like, looks kind of clunky to me. Hopefully it can at least cut steak. And I was like, bye. Fuck you. Not being helpful. You're just being an idiot. Yeah.
It's very strange.
I just don't have time for that shit.
It's very strange. People's motivation for putting other people in a place of not being helpful. And I don't understand it. I don't understand how, you know, all right, you don't want to have to, you know, you don't have to be, you know, Jericho and yelling from the rooftops about, I don't know why I said that, but never mind. But at the same time, it's like you don't. There's no reason to just be difficult or hurt somebody, you know. I just don't understand it.
I think you said this very well, probably years ago on the show, that people just want to be seen,
right?
And that's their way of getting themselves across, you know. And you know, if they give it more than 2 minutes thought, they probably wouldn't do it. But everything's just instant these days, isn't it? No, nobody gives any thought to anything they do online. It's just bang, done, move on.
Yeah, so it sucks because it's like you just – and I do believe that some people are targeted for trouble. Like for some reason, I don't – like Mareko, it still amazes me that you are in a position where you're having to block people. Like that to me is like very foreign because I don't – generally speaking, people don't really like mouth off to me. And I'm a lot of times I'm also very along the lines of I try to read between the lines of where it's coming from, and no one ever says anything really kind of. One time, I did a knife with 440C, and the guy says, 440C, bring me back, you know, 1989 called and Rambo wants his steel back. Or it was like some sort of fucking whack joke that I was just like, yeah, I'm not mad about it, but it didn't fucking help me. You know, it's just like, yeah. I was just like, I just left it alone, but I don't understand it. I don't understand people, frankly.
Yeah.
Like, I even have these moments like somebody will write something and I want to make a funny joke. And then I'm typing it and then I'm just like, does this help this person? Yeah. You know, and then I'm just like, nah, not really. So I'd like erase it. I don't think that social media is a place for anything other than just trying to be helpful.
I do that too. And to be fair, I think you're kinder than I am to give people the benefit of the doubt. I think I'm just too sensitive.
I don't deal well
with people's fuckery. If it was somebody I knew, like if you had said that, I would have thought it was funny. But there's a complete fucking stranger in a platform of billions of people. I'm like, I don't fucking know you. You're saying some weird shit on my post. Goodbye.
But when you're making something, anytime you're making anything, and then you're showing it to people, what you're showing is the best thing you can do at that moment, and you're putting yourself out there. You're very vulnerable. And I remember this when I had a. I'll never forget when I had a. We had an open studio out of our old sculpture space, and it was like 15 artists. We had galleries come, people came. We opened all our doors. And I was, and then one artist said to me, "I'm not opening my doors." And she said, "Why?" I said, "Why?" And she says, "Because I am too vulnerable, and this is my space, and I don't want people to be passive or dismissive of me in my safe space, so to speak." And this is a famous artist, and I was just like, "Ah, all right, well, whatever." And then some people started walking through my shop with like a fucking toothpick and a cantaloupe and a glass of white wine. And they're rolling their eyes or just being very dismissive of the space that I spend all this time making something that came from a sincere place. Mm-hmm. You're vulnerable to these things, and people are callous enough to say things that are really so super unnecessary. And it can be very difficult. So I understand why you're sensitive, because you're putting something, the best possible thing that you can make at the time, and the callousness of what people say is shocking.
Yeah. People are stupid.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to tell everybody about TexasFireSupply.com. It's amazing. They've got everything you need. The guys down there in Texas, they are... they sell everything you need, from steel to handle materials to epoxies, whether you're a knife maker or a farrier. It's just a great place. They also sell Indasa Rhino-Wet, which is the stuff that we use, any sort of hand sanding. It's the stuff to use, really, let's face it. Go take a look, TexasFireSupply.com, and you'll actually get 10% off as well if you use KnifeTalk10 at checkout. They'll give you 10% off the entire order. So that includes your Indasa Rhino-Wet and anything else that you need. Mm-hmm. Go take a look, TexasFireSupply.com.
We have rookie moves, listener feedback, whatever you want.
Let's do the last rookie move then.
All right. This is, once again, I'm bowing to Nice Handmade Knives, who has given us two dynamite bits. And the listeners have completely enjoyed them. So this is submitted rookie moves that you do in your shop that you know, when you first started and you'll never do it again. These are rookie mistakes. So the first one comes from Speedster Stoves. Oh, and if you want to send, this is it for rookie moves. We'll bring something else back, but this is it for rookie moves for now. Thank you, Nice Handmade Knives. Speedster Stove says, here's a rookie move. I spent hours filing a jig to make bevels. High tech with rose joints, rod ends, bearing, etc. I beveled the edges of the file for a good plunge line, and then I bought a grinder anyway. So he built this whole thing, and then he bought the grinder anyway.
Yeah. It's one of those things when you start in there, you're like, maybe you don't want to invest too much money into things, so you start buying like cheaper things or, you know, just things to get you through when you just think 6 weeks down the line, I'm going to need something better anyway. So sometimes you just need to sort of bite the bullet and go for the
more
expensive bit. But you never know, do you?
Have you ever done that where you made something and you're just... What a waste of time. I should have just...
Oh, yeah, loads. Yeah. Loads, yes.
My first grinder. Yeah. I built my first grinder. And it took me about a month to... Well, it only took me a couple of weeks to get it built, but it took me like a month to really get it dialed in and everything like tuned in and working properly. And all I could think is like, if I just dropped the money to buy a grinder in the first place, I could have been working this whole fucking time.
Yeah. And what would you have bought?
Well... Nowadays, I would have got a Broadbeck.
Dang, of course.
Broadbecks.
Why?
What's that?
I was going to say, why wouldn't you? Of course, yeah. Of course.
No, Broadbecks are great grinders. They're made by knife makers, for knife makers. You know, these guys do a great job making this tool that is actually, it's really a multi-tool. It comes with all these different attachments available that you can, you know, have several machines in one. And I'm really happy to have mine. And especially with the deep platen that I designed with those guys to really get in and do the heavy contouring around my handles. I've been getting a lot of really positive feedback about that platen, so I really appreciate everybody. But they're a great grinder. They're, and they also offer, you know, they have the sewing machines for doing leather stuff, leather work. And so if you go to Broadbeck Ironworks and you type in Knife Talk 200, that'll save you $200 on any package that you get from them. And then if you do Knife Talk 100, that'll save you $100 on the leather sewing machine, the surface grinder, and there's one more thing that I
sharpening system.
The sharpening system, yes. As well, yeah.
That totally spaced on. Sorry, guys. Yeah, so go check them out, BroadbeckIronworks.com. Again, that's Knife Talk 200 and Knife Talk 100.
And they have a special Blade Show Texas sale. The promotion will be $250 gift card to our website with the purchase of the Max Package, a $300 gift certificate with the premium package, $400 gift certificate with the mega package. The sale starts Friday, March 17th, and will end Sunday, March 26th, and will be available online or at the show. And then the gift cards can be used to purchase anything on their website, including their new Radius Platen or their beveling jig. So get involved with the Blade Show Texas sale from Broadbeck Ironworks.
Nice. Okay, cool. Cool. Shall we call it a day? Maybe go to an after show?
We got some more rookie moves. We got to blast through.
Sorry. Yes, let's do it. Sorry. Yes.
Baltic Blades, our old friend Baltic Blades, PS sent a video of last week. We had a guy who broke the belt and slapped him about 200 times in the face.
Oh, Jesus.
He did the same thing. So he sent a video of like it's broken. It was whipping past. So good old Baltic Blades, his biggest rookie move on my very first knife was to not dry fit it. He didn't dry fit it, and that is nothing worse than fooling around and the epoxy's spurting all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Scott Schaefer says beginner mistake or stubborn dumbass. I made my first sand my chef knife and tried vinegar, lemon juice, and ferric to etch it and to get a nice contrast, and they darkened everything but they darkened both the 1084 and the 15N20, almost gave up, and I couldn't get the results I wanted. Had the coffee in the back in my mind. I couldn't, but I was avoiding to try it. I got Nescafe Instant after hearing Mareko suggest it many times, and holy shit, it gave me contrast I wanted. My takeaway is listen to the pros and get out of your own way and routine when trying something new. So he was stubborn, and then he listened, and now everything's good. So God bless you, Scott Schaefer. And then last but not least, Adam Coonrant, that's Uncle Sam. Catching up with the podcast, rookie mistake for me is not using a push stick. Today I ran my thumb into a fresh 36 grit belt at full speed grinding 440C. I'm missing a good chunk of my skin now. In the past, I ran my thumb into a table saw, and then the same thumb a year later into a bandsaw in the middle of the front of the thumb. I have pics if you want to see. No. We don't want any fucking pics.
What's he got? At least some little nubbin left.
Jesus. Respectfully, this is a fucked up thumb right here. the belt, the table saw, and the fucking bandsaw. Adam, fuck that thumb. That don't want to be there.
If you're unsafe, you don't pick up a right angle grinder, please.
Yeah. I mean that thumb is the last survivor. That fucking thumb has been through the ringer. God damn that fucking thumb. Like, imagine a table saw is just about enough. And the thought of hitting a table saw with your thumb is, I don't know what the fuck you're doing to get your table saw, thumb in a table saw, but God damn that fucking thumb.
Ugh.
So.
Have you seen those saw stops, those table saws?
Yeah.
Table saws that people put in a hot dog sausage against it and they stop.
Not cheap.
Some balls to try that.
Well, it's...
I think every time that you do that as well, you got to buy a whole new sort of braking system for it as well.
New braking system, new ring, new thing. I don't know who I was talking to. We were saying that there were some sensors that were making it go off. But God bless. I mean...
Yeah,
you know, it's like two. I think I don't know how much the replacement packages are, but your blade's destroyed, number one, and then you gotta get the new charge system to stop it. But how about just be careful?
I remember the first time I saw those saw stop videos, and I was like, whoa, that's crazy. And it's always showing like the person's hand and stuff, and then they slow it down with no wood, and they use a hot dog.
Yeah,
I can't be the only person who's like the first. Like it makes my like groin hurt looking like seeing that fucking hot dog go
Johnny
into the
Knoxville.
Saw. I'm just like,
I want to see the CEO. How good is it really? Let's get the CEO putting his dick on there. Let's really see if he's gonna put it all on the
put
line.
Put your balls on the line, son. Let's see what you got.
Johnny Knoxville time. Gee. I don't think so.
Oh my
but
God.
It reminds me of Peloton has this whole thing. They have a running treadmill that I would love, but it's I can't do it. And they had a problem because people were fucking falling off it. It's fucking what? Shooting them off the thing, or kids would get on it and kids get flown through the thing. Dogs would get killed, and you know everyone's getting, so they had like they have a thing where you have like a on off switch that you it ties to you. So if you fall off, it pulls out and it stops. At some point, the problem is people. I mean,
it's just stupidity. Yeah, it's designed to do that thing, so that's what it's going to do. Yeah,
I have a rookie mistake that I made the other day.
Bring it.
When I was recording the podcast with Sean, I thank him so much. Like we were struggling, we got in early. We're trying to figure out. Like there were some issues with the audio. He's got like his whole computer set up. He's got the snowball mic. He's got separate pair of headphones. He cannot hear me. And like we're trying everything. We're both logging in and logging out of the platform. We're fucking going into the settings and fucking with everything. And finally, we settle on since I can hear him, but for some reason he can't hear me. I'm like, let's just do it. I'll turn my phone on. I'll call you. Well, you can hear my audio through the phone, so you can answer questions. I'll still be able to get your audio. And I'm looking at my settings, and everything's in there. And so I start the podcast. I'm talking for probably only a couple minutes, fortunately, but it felt like forever. And I'm looking at the image of me talking on the thing, and I can see the back of my microphone. And the fucking cord is not plugged into the microphone. And I just started laughing. I'm like, oh, fuck, it was me the whole time.
God damn, that would drive fucking me crazy.
Idiot. So I was just like.
Sweating.
I couldn't. Well, and like I said, like I even got the computer and everything set up the way I do it for us. Like an hour before I even got in there with him. And I was just like, so everything was already set up. So I was just like, and because like the microphone plugs into a secondary thing before it goes into the computer was reading that the microphone was plugged in. So when I looked at the settings, everything looked fine until I saw the back of the microphone. I was like, oh my God, so fucking stupid.
Ugh, rookie moves.
It can happen.
So let's salute rookie moves. And, thank you, Nice Handmade Knives. And thanks to the listeners there. You guys were great. You guys were really involved, and I really appreciate it. I got to figure out a new bit. I was thinking about some new bits we're going to do. So
I've got a deep cut for next week.
Oh, great.
I'll keep it for that. Nice. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you all for listening. It's been fun. It's been a fun ride, as it always is. We shall speak to you again next Monday. Bye.
This show is brought to you.
Ah, there we go.
I'm pretty sure I was supposed to say that's what she said. After you said the fun ride thing.
There you go.
Yeah, you got to get in quick.
It's a very polite ending to a session. It was a fun ride. Thank you. It was very pleasant.
Yeah. That was good. It was a good one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I hate The technical problems on podcasts are probably the one thing I hate more than anything. I will completely give it all up. I'll give it up.
Yeah.
And if I do give it up, it will be for technical problems.
Sure.
I had a great episode with Ben Schnoor. Half of it didn't come through, and I'm having him back on, and I just was fucking going out of my goddamn mind. And right. Craig had to say, it's just a podcast, just relax. I'm like, you don't understand, I'm like, fucking jump to the goddamn screen.
No, it is frustrating, because we do quite sort of long form. We do, you know, like 2 hours, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours. And, to lose all that, it's a lot. But I've just got wired internet here in the studio as well, so I'm not even relying on Wi-Fi anymore.
Oh, nice.
So everything's rock solid now here. But, sometimes it can just be a real fucking...
Yeah.
And sometimes you know it's happening as well, and it's just like, oh, no, and you... Fingers crossed that it's not going to fall apart, but
I'm going to. I have. I have Ben coming back. We're going to do a whole episode of weird news, so I have a lot of weird news. if you guys wanted one, I'd be happy to.
Go on.
I'll give you some choices. We did this one last week, which is funny. Man crushed to death under an outdoor urinal in London. Did you hear about this, Craig?
No.
Let's go to this one. I did this on. So I guess somebody's designing these like pop-up urinals in London. Do you know about those?
Yeah, and they're like on like weekend nights, they'll put them out in the streets because people are out drinking.
They're hydraulic. They're hydraulic urinals that come out from the sidewalk. You've never seen anything. if you Google fucking pop-up London urinals, it'll be a cylinder that's flat against the sidewalk. It looks like a manhole cover. And then somebody presses something, and this goddamn piss hole comes up. This fucking giant. It's like a telephone booth. It's like a half telephone booth, and there's a urinal there. And a guy got crushed with this goddamn urinal. But it's crazy. The crazy part is, just imagine. You know how hard plumbing is. Like the thought of putting a new bathroom in your house. Is crazy because, I mean, the amount of lines and water lines and waste lines and stuff like that.
Right.
This pop-up urinal is only good for one fucking part of going to the bathroom for one group of people. Women can't use it.
Yeah.
25% of all toilet trips we'll cater for.
This is like a feat of engineering wizardry that you can have a urinal that pops up, but you can't poop in it, and women can't use it. So it's just like, this is the...
They'll try. They will try.
This isn't in Wales, obviously. You know, by the fish and chip stop.
If this was Cardiff, they'd be shitting in that. I'm telling you now.
But it's like open. Like, people will see your back. And then this motherfucker got crushed in it. He went down, obviously.
How did he get crushed? I don't understand. Is it just the toilet or is it
like a
stall?
Imagine a cylinder. Imagine like a cylinder, so when it closes, it's the top of the cylinder is flush on the sidewalk, so there's no hole. And then when it comes up, the whole cylinder, like a soda can, comes up, and then there's this open urinal. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So
like a bin or a trash can.
Right.
You'd
so it comes up, right. It like on hydraulics, it comes up to the platform, and then there you are. You have this little booth where you can urinate in. And somebody must have pressed the button.
What did he get trapped in
there? They must have turned it. They must have closed it down. They must have closed it on him.
Oh, it's big enough to walk into.
You walk into it. So it's like the size of like a manhole cover.
Oh,
and it's like it goes up and down. You should look at when you see the pictures of what they look like.
That's
it's
weird.
Amazing, but it's like so stupid. It's like, why wouldn't you just put a bathroom there?
Yeah,
a whole bathroom. Like enclosed bathroom, and now this fucking guy got his dick cut off, or whole thing got smushed in a urinal. It was a huge big production in the middle of fucking London.
The stupidity of humans.
There you go.
Interesting.
Right, with that, I think we could call that a day. Again, thank you all for listening. Speak to you next week. Bye.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.